change our ways. Amen. I wanted to share with you today, and thank God again that we're able to be here this morning. And we got two children's churches going this morning. We got the older students, and then we got the little ones like Jasmine and them. They're going back over towards this right-hand side of the building. And I want to say a special thank you and a welcome today for as many as are watching online. Now, I'm going to give those online people a task today. You're not going to get out scot-free today. If you're watching online tonight, or this morning rather, you're probably on some type of mobile device that's got a keypad. And I want to know you're there. And I want you to go on your keypad, not you in the church, but those of you that's watching online. Believe it or not, there is people that sneak around the church and watch, turn their phone on and watch it, you know. But I want you to do something today. I want you just to go in that little slot below there where you had the opportunity to type something in, and I want you to type in the word P-E-A-C-E, peace. And we're going to know that you're there today. Not only that, but we've got people from out of town watching today that's texted me this morning. And Scott, they send again compliments to you from Jackson County, North Carolina, all the way from Silva. They were not able to have church this morning, and they're tuned in here with us, and that would be Dorothy and Sid Rathbone. And I'm sure they're still on there. And Dorothy, you just type peace in there, and I'll know you're there. I wonder what I'm going to preach on this morning. Peace. You know, we just come through the Christmas season, and, you know, I believe today that, to be totally honest with you, that the Bible promises us peace. Those of us that are believers, those of us that are Christians, those of us that have put our confidence in Christ as being our Lord and our Savior. Not only that, we look out throughout the Scripture prophetically. And I want to read some Scripture that is definitely in the prophetic arena today out of the book of Isaiah, chapter number 26. Isaiah chapter number 26. And I want to read several of these verses. I'm not going to take the time to read all of them. I'm only going to read four of them. That is as far as I'm going to go. And then we're going to talk about this a little bit and talk about where this verse actually came from and why Isaiah actually put these verses in there. So we're going to pick up reading again in Isaiah 26. And I do want to say that I think, if I'm not mistaken, verse number 3 is Kay Leonard's favorite verse, if I'm not mistaken on that. And I know Kay's watching from home as well. Verse 26 says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land." In that day, this song shall be sung in the land of Judah. Judah means what? Praise. "We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls of bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Verse 4 says, "Trust ye in the Lord for a little while," a day or two, here and there, yonder, "forever." And I'll tell you why that forever's there in a little bit. He says, "For in the Lord, Jehovah is everlasting strength." Stretch your hands this way and pray for me. Father, we love you today and we do thank you. I thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to be here today. I thank you, Father, that God, that when we come into your presence, we're not alone. But God, we're here with you today. And Father, I pray that as we share the word of the Lord, I pray, Father God, that it would just touch every heart. I pray that it would touch every life. And Lord, if there be one here today that needs this peace that we are speaking of today, myself included, and everybody that is hearing this word, I pray, God, that you, Lord, would just overshadow us. I pray, God, that you would Sustain us. I pray, God, today that, as I've already prayed, God, that you would engulf this sanctuary, even those watching online today. And Lord, let a sweet smelling savor come from heaven and come down and touch your people today. That, God, that your people, God, can experience you. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we praise you. And Lord, let the sweet fragrance of heaven fill this place. And Lord, we honor you and we glorify you and we praise your name forevermore. Amen and amen. Now, I know the topic at hand is not a new topic, but I do believe that our world today is longing for what I would call true peace. I would also go as far as to say today that everyone here in this room this morning, all of us, I believe, included, I believe desires to know what true peace really is. True peace, may I say, can be retained. I believe that. Yet we see that nations are at war today. I thought when I was writing this and studying this, I thought about wars that maybe even yet to this day that's going on around the world. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, February might be the benchmark for 2 years or so that Russia and it just went out the door. Ukraine have been at odds with each other, and thousands upon thousands of human beings have been killed. But yet nations seek this, yet they are at war, but yet in all reality they say that they are seeking peace. And peace treaties are being signed in an effort to find peace between nations, if you will, and countries, if you will. And they say that peace is being sought to end war, a social environment that they seek to be absent of, if you will, of quarrel and strife. And all throughout the ages we have witnessed this, no matter what war it was on planet Earth, that there's always been some type of cry for peace today. Now, I'm only preaching this today because of what I feel like the Lord put in my heart today. But yet we see this word peace in the Old Testament, the rabbis of the day, the rabbinical order of the day. The Hebrew word peace is actually shalom, and it's administered by rabbis in the day, and it would actually be a word, if you will, that the priest would pronounce over the people that actually was a blessing. He would pronounce blessings over the people, if you will, and it was to be a manifestation of a divine blessing. When you look at this Hebrew word, shalom, commentary, one writer said, not just to be the absence of conflict, but it also was to emphasize a state of wholeness, if you will. It would be like the completeness of the well-being, prosperity, and wealth. And that is many times where, even in this text today, we would see this word before us. We see that many times there would be a pronunciation or a pronouncement of perfect peace. And that is exactly what Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 26. When you begin to look at Isaiah 26 and 1, we see this as it being said, in that day shall the song be sung in the land. In that day, this song will be sung. So this is a song that prophetically is being stated by Isaiah that will be sung at some point in history. We know, commentary even reinforces this, and there's scripture throughout the Bible that talks about, in David Jeremiah writing his book, The Golden Age That Is to Come, that there is that millennial kingdom that is in even in front of you and I, even to this day. But in this, as you look at messianic prophecies, if you will, this was a song that was going to be sung, and Israel was going to be rejoicing because the golden age of peace had finally come. I don't know how you feel today, but we can see that chapters 24 and 25, if you will, points to a day when the Messiah will come and there will be an ultimate triumph over all evil and all wickedness and all sin. I don't know about you today. If I could be a little Pentecostal this morning, I could almost shout right there and knowing, my friend, that this is not the end and there is a greater day coming. And my friend, it won't be long until all of us have received this greater measure of peace. Hallelujah to the Lamb today. But in that day, the commentary said that there would be joyful singing that would be sung. Such singing that has never yet been sung. Because it will be a song that is sung because salvation, the city of our God, has come. And my friend, all the rulers of Rome will be cast down as it was in that day. There'll be no more Babylon, if you will, and all the nations of the earth, if you will. I don't mean to be so preachy on a snowy morning, but it's in my heart today to proclaim who Jesus is today. But we can see that all the nations of the earth, when you look in the book of Philippians, the Bible said that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God our Father. But yet we look at this and we see that the city of our God, there will be no end. When Isaiah actually wrote this, he was actually saying in the latter part of verse number 4, if you will, he talked about his everlasting strength. The city of our God, there will be no end. The millennial reign and the coming of the new Jerusalem, as mentioned in the book of Revelation, if you will. When you and I think about that today, not only does it sustain us for the future, but it ought to give us a lot of hope for even right now. That one day after a while, the Bible teaches you and I that we are not to grow weary in well-doing. But we look this morning to that eternal state. We look this morning to that state of tranquility, if you will, that'll be from everlasting to everlasting. If you even look in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 6, I'm only going to give you a reference of that really quick. But it actually mentions in those verses of Scripture where the animals will even be at peace with one another. It talks about the ox. It talks about the lion and the lamb and the different animals. It don't mention the lamb, but it makes us know that there will be a day of peace in that time of trouble. But yet God will be the one that will give us that peace in that day. That peace that you and I are searching for today and longing for today, it is not coming from the hand of man. If man could do it, God would have never sent His Son to become the propitiation, to become the atonement, to become the covering for you and I. Somebody say, I'm covered. I've been thinking about that song all week long. I'm covered by the blood. Hallelujah. I got peace like a river today. I got peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Even in the midst of conflict, even in the midst of a sin-cursed world, even in the midst of a job that you don't even want to go to, my friend, you and I, in this day, we can have peace. Thank God for that. How do we do that? First of all, here's the thing. I want to talk about peace later on, but I want to talk about the P, E-A-C-E, but the first one I want to talk about, and I'll get into the others in a few moments. How can you and I have this peace? Number one, the first P is simply this. It's a promise. Are you with me? The Bible said that God's yea is yea and God's nay is nay. But yet we see that God has promised peace to the believer. Are you a believer today? Have you put your trust and your confidence in Christ Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? Notice I didn't ask you if you attend church. I didn't ask you if you read your Bible. But I ask you, have you put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? Are you trusting Him this morning on our journey home? And we look at this. Those are the only people today that can have the peace that I'm talking about today. But see, we look at this in the Scripture text of verse number 3. He says, thou, God, will keep him in perfect peace. Well, you know what that is from those of you that we've already talked about. We talk about this perfect peace We look at it as a word, and you look at it in the Hebrew, guess what it is? Sherry and I have talked about it all week long. You talk about shalom, shalom. That's a Hebrew word for peace. So if I walk up to Brother Steve Gallimore and I say, shalom, shalom, not that I know Hebrew, it's just perfect peace. It's where Jesus, or excuse me, where Isaiah was writing this in verse number 3, and he said God is going to keep him in shalom, shalom. God's going to keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. There's about 5 things in that verse we're going to talk about over the next few minutes of time. First of all, he talks about this perfect peace. And this we find is a promise, and even a promise that God has said to his people. And too often we struggle trying to find this perfect peace, because it seems that life is so fleeting. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I do have a question for you today. Do not raise your hand, but has anybody in this room had any opposition this week? Has anybody in this room had any turmoil this week? Has anybody in this room had any affliction this week? Have anybody in this room suffered with any type of anxiety this week where it almost took your breath away? Has anybody in this room today suffered with things that was out of order and disarray, and you're just thinking, God, if I could have 15 minutes of peace, I would feel much better off? When you think about the peace that the world can give, the type of peace that the world can give is not a sustaining peace. It is a fleeting peace. It is a temporary peace. And my friend, too often life has taken us by surprise, if you will, and we seem overwhelmed, if you will, but yet our world is filled with wickedness, if you will, and some even know that it is filled with death and decay everywhere you look. And we all somehow or another feel like, as Christians, that we live in a bubble. And we feel like that we're detached from the outside world. But unfortunately, what's outside in that world, even in the children of Israel, even in their day, and I've thought about this, even as I've read this week, I'm not reading the regular schedule. I've got a 1-year Bible, and I'm just trying to stay with that 1-year Bible. It's helping me. But even when I start reading through the 1-year Bible that I've started up until this point, I'm way ahead. I'm proud of myself. I'm over on January 17th already. Through the snow days, I got caught up. But I mean, I even looked at this yesterday through the bloodline of Abraham. And this is not in my notes, so I'm taking a little bit of liberty here. But I've even looked through the bloodline of Abraham, who God promised to make a mighty nation. So many that even the sands of the earth, and but yet he had Isaac. And God had to, Abraham had to make a decision about Isaac. And then you go down and you see Jacob. And then you go down and you see something happen very terrible within the family unit with Jacob and Esau. Somebody was born. His name was Jacob. He was a supplanter. He was a swindler. We know the rest of the story. God changes his name to Israel later after he had an encounter with God. But yet you and I, we look at things today and we look at history and we look at the Bible and we look at how much through the ages, throughout history, throughout the Bible, even all the all throughout the kings and the rulers and everybody, it seemed like that everywhere there was some type of turmoil in the lives of humanity. Well, that started in the garden. We know that. When did Satan come down? And again, that's not part of the message today. But I said all of that to say this. This world today is filled with wickedness. And when you and I, we think about this, and if we think that we're going to get out of this world without any type of turmoil today in our lives, you know, I think God's designed it that way. He designed it that way so that we will rely upon Him. But He says this in the Word, and there's several things I want to share. So when we look at this scripture in verse number 3, if you will, he says that will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Again, when we think about this word, perfect peace, We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But the first thing, how do I have this perfect peace? Well, he actually tells us in the mid part of that verse. He teaches us that we've got to have our minds in control and not out of control. I know what it is to be out of control. I know what it is to be in control. Come on, somebody. I know when my mind is right. I know when my mind is wandering. I know when my mind is I can use this word, diseased, and when my mind is not functioning the way that it's supposed to function. And I've learned, and I'm even learning and still learning, that God has given us instruction in the Word that he said that you can have perfect peace, wholeness. And I'll get again into that in a little bit. But he says that whose mind is stayed on thee. Now again, if I had time, I would, but I don't have time to go through every bit of this today. But I do know that the enemy, the first place that the enemy is going to attack you is in your mind. Those voices that you say, preacher, you're hearing voices, not literally, but those voices in your mind that when the enemy comes and the voice begins to try to destroy you and tell you you're not good enough and try to tell you all kinds of things in your mind today. And the devil's trying to do one thing. He's trying to rob you of the promise of God that God said, I will give you shalom, shalom. I will give you perfect peace. I don't know about you, but I want that today. I want that perfect peace today. And that perfect peace only comes through He that is able to give you an I perfect peace. And His name is still Jesus today. Now, let me get into this for just a few moments. Now, you do know I'm not preaching tonight. So we're not having church tonight, so I get double time this morning. I mean, I just want y'all to know that before I get any closer into the latter part of this. So he says, whose mind is stayed upon thee. So when I begin to study this, he said whose mind, when you think about whose mind is stayed, so of course I looked up those key words in this verse, and the key word here is stayed. Go to the Psalms, go to the Proverbs, and read all throughout those places where God has promised, all the promises of God that's throughout those scripture texts. But he talks about this word, his mind is stayed. In God, we live, we move, we have our being. I want to just say this, again, not in my notes. But if you're the type of person that's in this room this morning or online, and you're compromising your convictions in order to try to appease those around you, you will never have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. But here's the thing. We've got to concentrate on what I would say are the promises of God. We've got to, as 2 Corinthians, we're not going there, but it said that we've got to bring every thought into captivity. That's in 2 Corinthians 10. We're not going to turn there. But it says, in everything that exalteth itself against the nature of God. I preached this before here because we've got to have our mind set on God. When you look at this word stayed, it is actually a word that means settled. And in Psalm 108, we're not turning there either, but he says, my heart is fixed. But this word stayed is settled. It's established. Our mind, again, one writer put it like this. He says that this isn't so much a matter of our spirit or our soul, or our heart, as much as it is a mind that is made up, a matter of the mind. Somebody says, I'm following my heart, and that is good. But there's times that if you're not careful, and me too, I will let my heart way override my mind in doing what I know is right before God. Is that okay? So we look at this in the Scripture. And here's some verses. If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you several here. I'm not going to read every bit of these verses. I'm going to give you little tidbits of them and little nuggets. So in the book of Matthew, we see what the mind has to do with it. I will turn to this one. We are to love the Lord in Matthew 22 and 37. This is what he says. I appreciate Miss Lynn helping us up there today. Matthew 22 and 37 says these words. And we'll get it in just a half a second. Is it right? 22 and 37. She's getting there. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all your soul, that internal part of you, where your emotion is and all that. And then he says, and with all of your mind. I never played too much football, but I've often been told that coaches have to sometimes walk by little guys and different ones that play football or basketball or whatever the sport is, and they'll shake them a little bit and said, hey, you got to get your mind in the game. Those guys, these bean boys back there that play ball, they need to educate me on ball lingo, but you got to get your mind in the game. I don't know how many times, I don't always talk about it. I don't always tell Sherry everything I'm thinking and everything I'm processing, especially when I'm sitting at my desk. She watched me sit for hours yesterday working on this because I wanted to have church so bad. She was working and cleaning and doing things that she liked to do, remodeling houses and taking down Christmas and putting up New Year's. I was just sitting there studying. Many times in our life, friend, there are times that we've got to get our head in the game. We've got to understand that if God be for me, then who can be against me? He says, again, when you look at this, he says you're to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Let's go through five verses real quick. Romans chapter number 12 and 2, he talks about, you don't need to turn there, Lynn, I'm just going to mention them. He says, Romans 12 and 2, he says the renewing of your mind. That our minds have got to be renewed, regenerated. 1 Corinthians 2 and 16 says, the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Then he talks about in Philippians 2 and Philippians 3, he talks about having our mind set on things above and not things beneath. And then we see this. I want to actually turn to this one because I put a check mark by it. It's over in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter number 2, if you will, just one verse. And then we're going to move on. Philippians chapter 2. Excuse me, yeah, 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you. You remember when Jesus was in the garden? Remember when Jesus was there in Gethsemane? Jesus went and prayed a little further. He came back and he found the disciples asleep. He told them to sleep on. But it was there in that garden that Jesus finally settled it with the Father about the cross. And this is what he said. He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That is where Jesus was able to say that we, you and I, have this mind in us which was also in Christ Jesus. Question mark. When we really think about perfect peace today, the only way we can have perfect peace is when we have our minds set upon Him. The word stayed, if you will, is a S-A-W-M-A-K. I don't even know how to pronounce that in the Greek, but it's swamak, I suppose. And it comes from a root word that means to prop. Or it has the idea, when I was studying this and writing it out, it says to lean upon or take hold of or bear up. When he says to keep your mind stayed upon thee, he that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, he says this word stayed is to lean upon. Trusteth in thee. I'll get there in a minute. To lean upon or to take hold or establish or to uphold. And it goes on and it says to lay or lean. I was reading this scripture even yesterday out of the book of Matthew chapter number 11. And he says this. And you can turn there, Lynn, in verse number 28. We see this in the scripture because it gives us a great example of what it means to trust or to lean upon God. And he uses this word in that text. He says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think it's the next verse, 29. And then he says these words. He says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Lean upon God. Lean upon God. And he talks about establish, uphold, or set self upon, or stand fast, or sustain. Well, that sustain was a very interesting word when I came across that, and here's the reason why. It says throughout other places in the Scripture, this word stayed is used also as the word sustained. So when you look at this word sustained, it says, what does all of this have to do with your mind, or what upholds your mind? And what does your mind stand steadfast upon? Or what is our minds established upon? Well, it's established upon God. When you go back to our main text, before I wrap this up here in just a few minutes, I'm on the last page of my notes for whatever that's worth. But we see this in the Scripture. He says, again, how can this happen? He said, whose mind is stayed upon thee. So we look at all that I've already mentioned about being established upon, keeping our hearts in tune with God. This is the promise that God gave to the children of Israel, if you will. So the latter part of this, he says, because he trusteth in thee. Trust is sometimes very fleeting. Trust is something that in our society today, somebody says, I don't know if this is even right to say this. If I get burnt one time, shame on me. But if I get shame on you or whatever, shame on you. If you get burnt twice, shame on you. I mean, we don't trust anybody. Hello, got quiet in the Church of God, didn't it? Because we've been burnt so many times through life, we have a very difficult time trusting people. And oftentimes, we take that same feeling of trust and we transfer it over to God. Now, you say, well, preacher, you sound like somebody that's actually dealt with this. I have. Because it's not always easy. Hello. You know one of my biggest problems, I don't like telling on myself, but I'll go ahead and tell on myself. I can't tell on you, but I can tell on me. One of the biggest problems that I've had, I say problems, I don't know if it's a good problem or a bad problem, is I'm a fixer. I want to fix everybody. I want to fix everything. And as a pastor, I have dealt with this for ever since the very origin of trying to be a pastor. I even told my little sister this a few weeks ago. Me and her was talking. That as a pastor, I want to fix everything. I want to fix everybody. And ever since I've been a pastor, when a family is in crisis or when a family is going through a situation, I want to always be the first one to step up and say, here I am. I want to fix this for you. As many times as I've had to walk by a loved one that's passed away, and I have to stand at the head of a casket, or I have to stand as a pastor and exhort, and I want to try to make you feel better, and I want to try to make a family feel better. I want to try to make a family know that I'm here to fix this for you. I've taken way, way, way too much on myself. But you know what, brother Hawks, if I could do it, my name would be called God. Hello? It's getting quiet in here this morning, ain't it? But here's what we want to do today. We want to understand we love each other, we respect each other, we honor one another, but we're talking about peace today. We're talking about true peace that can only come through what the Bible said is the originator of peace is God Himself. Now, I might be able to comfort as a shepherd, and I'll leave that all where it's at. I may be able to comfort as a shepherd. I may be able to say it's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. But in all reality, true and real peace comes from one source, from God, through Jesus, His Son. And the Bible says if you and I want this peace today, this verse says you've got to trust in God. Proverbs 3, we're going to look at it. Proverbs chapter 3, one of my most favorite verses of Scripture throughout the entire Bible. And I've got a few of them that I highlight from time to time. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. This is what he says, 5 and 6. When you begin to look at this in the Scripture, he says, in the Scripture, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Now, when you think about, let me back up for just a half a second. When you think about this word stayed, he says, when you think about it, lean not, which is a word that means sustain. So he says, lean not to thine own understanding. Now, that is in and of itself is counterintuitive. Because guess what? The fixer wants to lean on his own understanding. The fixer wants to figure it out. I'm helping myself so much. I'm gonna do like Brother Moxley. I'm going to give myself an offering in a minute. But I want to fix it. You want to fix it. God designed this thing, my friend, for us to trust in Him. Oh, what a relief. It's to know that we have a God this morning, Brother Johnson, that we can trust in. He's there. He's a sustainer. The peace can be sustained in Him. And he said, lean not to your own understanding. God, I don't understand none of this. Well, don't lean on your understanding. I don't know why, God, but don't lean on your own understanding. He said, the next verse, he says in 6, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct your path. Solomon was talking to the young men. You can go back to the first part of that chapter. He was talking to young people. There's not that many in this room today. But my friend, young people today, I wish I could just let you understand and get you to the point that you would hear what a pastor has to say that's got a lot of experience and a long time doing what I'm doing. There are many, many pitfalls in life. And you can get yourself on a straight and a narrow path right now as a young person, and you can avoid a whole lot of heartache when you get older. Or you can just continue in your pig-headed way, and my friend, I promise you, there is much adversity in your pathway. I promise you that. Why? Because the devil come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And if you find yourself vulnerable to the hand of the enemy, the enemy is going to play havoc in your life. But if you cling to the cross, my friend, there's several things I want to say in that latter part of this. And he says in the scripture text, he says this is a promise. When we look at our text, he says, trust in the Lord and not in yourself. When you look at this scripture, he opens it up again in verse 4. He opens it up again in verse number 4, and he says again, trust ye in the Lord forever. Well, that sounds like a long time, don't it? You know, I don't have time to go into it, but if you had the scripture today and you wanted to go through it, you could go over into 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if I'm not mistaken, and it talks about that it's he that begins the race is not he that gets the prize. That's a paraphrase of what that says, but it's he that finishes the race. We're in it to win it. We may not ever see everything that we expect on this side of eternity. Come on now, somebody. There being loved ones that's passed away that prayed for you all their days, and they're gone and they're in glory, but where are you sitting this morning? Moms and dads and people, I may not ever see what I want to see on this side of eternity. I expect to. But if not, what I've got in my heart last night is going to lead me into eternity. Now let me draw a conclusion this morning to the latter part of this. We see this in the scripture again, because John promises us through Christ Himself. In John 14 and 27, you know the scripture before Jesus departed the earth. Jesus told those disciples, and it must have been grueling upon those disciples when they knew the very one that they had spent the last 3.5 years with, and how that they knew that he was soon. I don't think we've talked about that too. I don't think they had a full picture of everything that was going to happen until they laid hands after the kiss of Judas upon Christ, and then the process of the crucifixion started. But Jesus told them in John 14, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, I'll read this latter part. But John 14, Jesus opens it up and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And he gives him this great promise of a mansion that he's gone to prepare. And if I go and prepare, I'll come again. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But he says in 27, "Peace I leave with you." This is Jesus. Real peace, sustaining peace, staying peace. Not peace that is fleeting, not peace that will leave you in the midst of it all, in the midst of the storm. Has this helped anybody today? This came out of my heart, my experiences, friend. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace." That's pretty good right there. When you read that and you got the peace of Jesus, "My peace I give unto you." Not as the temporal peace of the world. He says, "Giveth. But give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We sing the song, "Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love." Peace, my friend. When we look in the book of Ephesians, and you don't need to turn to all these, Lynn, there's just several I'm going to reference here this morning. Ephesians 2 and 14 says, "He is our peace. He is our peace." The fruit of the Spirit makes reference to love, joy. In Galatians 5 and 22, love, joy. The third one is peace. Isaiah chapter 9 and 6 again in Messianic prophecy says that there would be this one that would come, and he's the Prince. He's the Prince of Peace. We look at this in the Scripture in 1 John 4 and 18 says that perfect peace casts out fear. Romans 5 and 1 says we have peace with God. Those that are justified, we have peace with God. But yet it also says in the book of Isaiah 48 and 22 that there is no peace for the wicked. This is how I wrote at the end of my notes. I wrote down a couple of words. I wrote down, "You choose." We have to make a decision about peace today. Whether you're going to have the fleeting peace that's only temporary, the things that the world has to give, or whether we're going to stake our claim on Jesus today, the Prince of Peace, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright, the Morning Star, the I Am that I Am. And I could go through the whole book of John talking about the shepherd and the door and all the way through, the light, the truth. We could talk about every one of those. What does that mean? That just means that whatever you need today, He is a sustainer of that peace. Verse 3 in our text, again, when we read that text, He teaches us that He will keep him in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Hope you learned that today. It is a priestly, divine pronouncement of wholeness over your life. And you know what? I'll say this and I think I'm done. All we can do today is trust in Him. Maybe you're in this room today as you stand with me on this, what we call the snowy morning. I'm so glad we had church. I think I can make it through the day now. I got a glimpse of that cross when I come around the corner on a hill far away. It's stood an old rugged cross, the emblem. Aren't you glad he went to the cross? Will you bow your heads with me today? Father, I thank you for the word of God that is forever settled in heaven. I thank you, Father God, for sustaining your people. I thank you, Father God, for giving your people peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes all my sins away. Thank you, Father God, that in the world that is filled with adversity, in a world today that is filled with anguish, in a world today that is searching, I'm so glad that we found the river of life. I'm so glad that Jesus told that woman at the well that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'm so glad today that we have that peace. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, you might say, Pastor Green, I came in this room today very troubled. I came in this room today and I didn't have much peace. But because I've been in His presence and in God's house today, I find myself better now than I did when I came. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up, anyone at all, and know that God, the sustainer and the giver of peace today, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Father, we ask your blessings over this word, over every family, over every person. We ask you this in Christ Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Look at your neighbor and pronounce a blessing over them. Shalom, shalom. God bless you as you go in Jesus' name.